We've got live events next weekend, and we want you to come and join in our fifth annual Kentucky Derby handicapping event that we're doing with our friends at TaylorMade Partnerships. There's going to be food. There's going to be drinks. Me, JK, Vanessa, Philip Shelton. I only hit that pick five last year because of Philip Shelton. We're really eager to hear what he has to say. 6:30, the doors open on Wednesday night in Lexington, Malone's Banquet Center. That's the 3347 Tate's Creek Road location. You can find the tickets online. I'll create a pretty link for us in themoneypodcast.com/event. Sign up and get your tickets and come join us in Lexington. We're going to have a hell of a time. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show that we are recording on Friday, April 26th for the races of Saturday, April 27th. And I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker. Once again, the Brooklyn Bunker, where we've been creating all manner of content for our YouTube channel. I want to make sure people are over there and checking that out. The Monster Pod videos are all up as individual videos there. They will release as an audio version later in the week. If you're more of an audio person, do not fret. You will have that opportunity. But then we've got some other fun stuff on the YouTube channel as well. We're encouraging everybody to go over there, subscribe, and click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our exclusive YouTube content. Another way to make sure you stay on top of things is to subscribe to our free email. We have a dedicated Derby newsletter we're going to send out a few times in themoneypodcast.com/email, the way to pay attention to that. A man who has not yet been part of our YouTube coverage or our Derby coverage, but will be getting involved doing some bankroll-specific pieces on the In the Money Plus side as we get closer to the day. And it's coming sooner than you think, especially with this early draw. It's going to be all hands on deck sooner rather than later. And I'm very much looking forward to what Drew Cotney has to say in that format. Have you done any thinking yet, or are you more of a, I'm going to wait till I have the PPs in my hand type of horse player?
I'm nice to talk to you on the airwaves. I feel like we've been through a lifetime together since the last time we spoke. So,
Reader's Cup.
I almost started a pro player's diary like you did with Sean Borman. Not only after losing the Breeders' Cup, but also the Lions losing in epic fashion to try and make it to the Super Bowl. My Detroit Lions. I remember my head down in almost like a child's pose with my parents looking on, a little concerned for my well-being, but it's great to be back, and I'm full swing Derby. I'm not looking at anything. I'm actually kind of so busy. I'm taking a hiatus off of Twitter for the most part, just kind of checking things here and there, and I'm excited. I think it's
good. Buying back means you're back, though. It sure sounds like
that is absolutely true, and nothing gives me more joy than the true spring is in swing when the friends north of the border start to fire off on the all-weather track up there. So I'm really excited, and there's some good racing to start on Saturday. I think I've concocted a pick four that I'm going to have to play myself.
Good. Well, I would hope anything you're giving out, you got going in your pocket as well, some version of it. That's just how we roll here at the In the Money Media Network. The turf season is yet to begin. That'll be coming soon. Early on in this meet at Woodbine, it's weekends. It's going to be Saturdays and Sundays. Then the Fridays will come online, day racing, and then Thursdays eventually will come online. We're going to cover this opening weekend, let everybody know it's back, wanted to lead off the show with it. Then I think we're going to take a break we'll probably have something for Derby, but then we may take a break or two, and then we're going to get into consistent coverage come May with the turf season and all those serious stakes. Going to have more written coverage around the big days, not as much weekly coverage. We're just finally getting our deal across the line with our friends at Woodbine. Very pleased to be working with them again this year. Let's start off our Woodbine coverage for the season by talking about Saturday's race number 7, 4:20 Eastern, the scheduled post time for these fillies and mares going 5 furlongs in the synthetic. Drew, how do you want to light this candle? Who do you like for your pick four?
Yeah, I have a couple options here. I'm going to go with the kind of captain obvious pick of the number 3, Botas Swing at 5-2. I like this horse is getting Lasix for the first time. It's likely going to set a nice pressing trip, and two back was a really great run into neutral fraction. So, you know, last out 6 furlong might be too long and gets back to 5 furlongs and has a habit of firing fresh. So the number 3 boat a swing for me to start. I think the next horse I like is the number 7, Miss Vivian. Again, not going in any crazy order here. Morning line 3-1. Has some really good numbers over the Woodbine surface and has every right to step forward as a 4-year-old and could be speed of the speed in this group. And then the fun play I'm going to use in pick fours, and I think is why I may play the pick four, is this number 4, Caracara at 20-1. Now, before I get into it, it's not September where these horses are rounding out their form. We know who they are. This horse, like just looking through the PPs, is all over the place. I mean, September 24th ran a massive buyer number into neutral fractions. And I think maybe the freshening could help and could be loose and dangerous. And in a form where a lot of these horses are coming off of these layoffs, who knows what anyone could be, or they could be even pointing to towards the turf later on when that opens up. So the number 4, Caracara at 20-1. I mean, crazy things happen at Woodbine, especially on the opening day of the meet. So I'm going to be using that one.
So I wrote you down 3, 7, and 4 in that order as your A horses. That sound about right?
That's right. Yeah, I will use the Caracara as an A and probably A plus the boat a swing horse just to press on that one a little bit more.
Gotcha. I'll list as the top pick in the notes we send around for In the Money Plus. I like Miss Vivian. You made the case already. I like, you talked about layoffs, and the layoff is key to why I like this one, just because I like the fact a lot that she's shown she can win off the layoff in a race where, you know, a lot of these may find themselves short of fitness. You can obviously look for clues watching the Woodbine broadcast, reading great information on the Woodbine website, and of course, looking at the tote board too for clues about who's ready off the layoff. If Miss Vivian is ready, I think that she's got a real good shot to take this first race. We're going to talk about race number 7. I'll take another look at the other two you mentioned as possible backups, but I also might just get some doubles going with the 7 runner in race number 7, which takes us directly into our first stakes race we're going to talk about at Woodbine this year. 3-year-old fillies in the Star Shoot going 6 furlongs on the synthetic. And I thought Mystic Lake looked really strong in here. We talked about how many of these horses are going to be coming off of layoffs. Mystic Lake is not. Mystic Lake is coming off a nice win, a stake win for Florida Breds just 34 days ago. Accomplished that in front-running fashion. I liked the early speed she showed. I liked how she then measured that speed and finished up her race. Could be loose and lonely here. I was very pleased to just go ahead and take Mystic Lake as a likely winner of this year's Star Shoot Stakes. How do you see this opening day feature?
I'm with you, Pete. I think this is way too easy of a trip. There's no speed inside. This horse is going to clear, get the rail. There's not no one that really is going to press too much. I think there might be one presser in here that might fade. And if we see 2-1, I think that's a gift. Like, I'm thinking 3-5, 4-5 off of that last win is probably what the market will send. So just be prepared that 2-1 is not going to hold up as much as we hope for. So, yep, simple.
You're willing to stand alone there?
Yep, stand alone.
All right, race 9. We'll zip it along to race 9. Going the flat 5 furlongs on the synthetic for fillies and mares in the allowance ranks. Again, field of 6. We'll keep it with you.
Yeah, I'm singling again the number 5, Star Candy, another 2-1. We think can hold that 2-1 because I think there's a lot of question marks on some other decent horses in here. And I think it comes down to pace with too many speed horses in here. So should have a nice setup of a pressing trip, a little bit wide. And there's just a lot of layoff horses in here too. And so I like the recent form and looks to be trending in the right direction and can close. So the number 5, Star Candy at 2-1 for me. Again, I think we're going to see at least 3-2 on this horse.
We're in lockstep. I do think there's other horses that could catch money, but I love the recency from Star Candy. Made that move into a fast part of the race down there at Gulfstream. I think this is an easier group. Getting back onto the synthetic, this horse is a definite, if not a definite dual surface performer, might even just be better on the synthetic. So that's something to consider, given that we just saw the career best figure-wise on the turf at Gulfstream. And the trip should just be absolutely beautiful. I see her sitting in behind the speed, attacking on the turn, and hopefully getting the job done, giving Mark Cassie another Woodbine winner. one more race to talk about, and we're going down in class here to the maiden claimers for three-year-old fillies going the same five furlongs on the synthetic. When it comes to these pick four tickets you've written up, Drew, how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, two horses in here for me. The number three, Azeel, at 5-2. Again, I think that price will drop down to 2-1, 3-2-ish. But drops the lowest level. Last out race had two next out winners in a second, which I think is notable. I think there was even like an 80 buyer next out. And then probably just burned up to going too fast too early with that group. I look for that, not just a key race, but what did this horse do in that race? And trying to tend with that group was just too much early on. So today should have a little bit better with this group. The other horse, just because nothing jumps off the page as a monster. The number two, Olivia's Melody, the first time starter at 12-1. Again, it's just kind of hard to really side with anyone else. And sometimes in these cases, I want to have the first, or especially at a long price like this, to try and get into the money. So the three and then a B for the number two. So A would be a three and the B would be a two.
It's a hard race. And with all the favorites coming off of layoffs, I was hesitant to reach for anything at too short of a price. Your case on Azeel might make me look again at that one, but I wanted to try to tell a story about the nine runner Mo Twilight, also coming off a layoff. But I just like the fact that even though that last synthetic maiden claimer was not very good, it was a much better field than what she's going to be facing today. This horse, just on numbers anyway, has potentially a competitive race from that Saratoga run. I mean, you know, that was just so much better than what she's going to be facing here. I thought it was maybe worth a shot on a horse that I think has the early kind of pace figures to be forward. And I think you might see her best race today. You certainly should see her best race today. Maybe it'll be good enough in a race where I don't trust a lot of what you see in the established form. I didn't really have anything on Olivia's Melody, but it's almost a de facto must toss in when you have a stranger like that in a race like this. I'm just going to list myself as the nine in here, but obviously wouldn't blame anybody for wanting to try to cover a bunch of these. It's a tricky, trappy little race to close things out on this opening Saturday. Any more thoughts from you, Drew, on this race or the Derby or anything else you have on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just grinding through the nine. Just looking at stats for Cassie, first time Lasix, first time blinkers for your nine horse in the maiden claiming ranks. Cassie has 6,367 starts and has only done this six times and won once with a $1.72 ROI. So I just find it interesting that it's taken this long. I think that signals to me that he'll do these equipment changes earlier on before he gets down to these ranks. Because when we look at all maidens, I'm assuming that sample size, jumps up to 86. So, yeah, interesting. It's hard to knock the nine on this. But otherwise, looking forward to a great weekend of racing, kind of the calm before the storm, as it were. Wet my appetite a little bit with Woodbine. And then it's off to Derby week, and the ITM crew gets into full gear. Full gear. Hopefully you have enough caffeine and free-reign coffee to support you throughout the entirety of it.
I've been getting up and getting after it this entire season. I don't think we even have a free reign ad on the show, but we might as well give them one. We really appreciate their support. They've enabled us to greatly increase the production values on the YouTube side. And I love the product, so I'll give them a freebie and say, if you're interested, go ahead and order some. There's a variety of different flavors. I've liked everything I've had, and it's beans, it's grounds, it's pods, if you like that type of thing. Some people have reached out and said, I'm not even a coffee drinker, but I like the t-shirt and bought those. We've got this promo code MONEY20 right now that you can use for a 20% discount site-wide. Have you bought yours yet? You certainly should have.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say, because I hate going to the store and spending $12 on a bag of Starbucks, because finding ground beans in Columbus is hard for some reason. I don't know why. But it is, I think, about the same price to get that delivered.
That's terrific.
I'm just looking up what my order was. Yeah, it's like for three bags, you can get a sampler pack. And I think I paid something like $12, $11 a bag. So it's very comparable. I know sometimes when you're talking about online orders of coffee, you're thinking it's going to be a $20 a bag situation. It's really expensive, but no, they're reasonably priced. Great coffee, and I just finished my third bag. So
oh, that's
I'm
great.
Out.
Well, you know, you got to get your subscription going so you don't run out. That's another good thing you can do. And I'll say, quality wise, you're definitely dealing with a level above a lot of the popular stuff. I've been impressed by some of the nuance that exists in the stuff. Anyway, enough of a free reign ad, Drew. Well, thank you for coming on here, and let's get on with the show. We got a lot of racing to cover.
Thanks.
Next up on the show, very happy to welcome in a returning guest coming to us from Hawthorne Racecourse. He's Jim Miller. Jim, what's going on, my friend?
Peter, I'll tell you, it's an exciting time of year. Of course, the Derby's only a week away, which is great. We just got done with the running of the Illinois Derby, and racing is kind of kicking into full swing here at Hawthorne. So great time going on right now.
I know you've got your turf season starting in just a few days' time. How's the course looking?
I'll tell you, the course looks fantastic this year, and it was a change from last year because typically we used to end, say, the end of the year, so all the turf maintenance had to take place in March and April. Well, last year we got done with Thoroughbred race in the first week of September, so we did all our turf course maintenance last fall. So that means this year we're starting on it 3 weeks earlier. We're racing on it 6 weeks longer. So Kentucky Derby Day will be our first day on the turf course this year, and I'll tell you, it looks absolutely tremendous.
Let's look back. Before we look forward, I want to talk about Illinois Derby Day, specifically the contest that we had a hand in helping to promote. How did you end up in terms of numbers? And tell us about your winner.
I'll tell you, very, very pleased with the contest. It was one of those things where when you partner with FirstBet and you're able to play the contest online through ExpressBet along with Hare on Site, it increased the entries. So we had 194 entries for the contest. So it was very cool for a cash contest, no entry fee, anything along those lines. And then the grade one gamble winner, Darren Triger, was the winner of this contest. He turned an $800 buy-in into over $12,000. It was just an absolutely remarkable run. I know he hit really big on the Illinois Derby exacta itself, but that is a great two-week run for him.
Incredible. We've seen this before in the contest world with people getting on heaters like this, but I would imagine Darren has to start thinking about the old NHC tour with those two big wins in live contests. You know, you get the extra points for the big full fields. I'll have to catch up with him at some point. Do you know him personally? Have you had any dealings with him?
I don't. And that was the thing that was really cool, is Darren's not necessarily a regular player for these contests, but he had the ability to jump in and play this contest. And I'm sure a little bit of those winnings from the grade one gamble definitely helped for that $800 buy-in. But it's one of those things that's really nice because we offer the NHC seats. We offer the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats along with the keep what you make aspect. So it was very cool to see him come in just a week after that huge score at Keeneland. And it was nice to have him just come right on back and roll on back and win this contest too.
Terrific stuff. Yeah, that's a story we'll have to dig into a little more maybe once we get through the Derby. I want to talk about some of this weekend's racing, yep, too. Why don't we look at these last four races at Hawthorne on Saturday? They come at a good time for East Coast players. 5:50 is race number five, the first one that we're going to be talking about on the show. This is a nickel claimer going six furlongs, some bread and butter stuff. I was wondering, Jim, if there wasn't a potential pace angle with the appropriately named number six, Winging Ways, making the second start off the layoff, laid down some quick pace figures going the 5.5 off that 140-day break, coming back now in 21 days, going the six. I think that he'll be out there early. Can he hang around late?
He can hang around late. I actually picked him second in this race, so he definitely can hang around late. He likes this Hawthorne strip, likes the distance. He will be the horse on the front end, too. And in that last out, he was kind of pushed along on the lead. It was 21-4 for the quarter, 45-3 to the half, and got run down late. He's going to be in the mix. I think the horse just to his outside, Breaking News, will be in the mix. And honestly, Peter, I think those are the only two horses that you should consider using for the late pick four. Winging Ways is going to provide some better value there. It's just going to come down to the distance more than anything, and if Breaking News has enough time to run down Winging Ways in the lane.
All right, those are two we can try to lock up the start of this pick four with as we pivot to race number six, where we've got $15,000 maiden claimers going a mile and 70 and a field of nine set to go postward. Jim, we'll keep it with you.
This is a really intriguing race here, Peter, because you're going to have two from the barn of Ravelli entered, and the two Giano and the eight, the Ridge. I actually like the Ridge a little bit better in this spot. And it's just kind of looking at the breeding, looking at the stretch and distance, looking at the fact that this is a horse that can show some speed in a race that doesn't have a whole lot of pace. You get last meet's leading jock, Alexis Centeno, in the saddle. You're coming back here. It was a floppy track for that last out. It looks like we're going to have a dry track on Saturday. But I think with the stretch and distance, they might just be able to kind of cruise along on the front end, maybe back things down a little bit and kick away late. But how often do we see this, Peter, where a trainer has two horses entered in a race and the longer price of the two is the one that won? The Ridge will be the longer price of the two if both of these Ravelli runners run in the spot.
Do you think we can lock it up with those two? I was going to tell the Giano story just on the drop angle. I think he's likely to be a lot closer to proceedings at this level. And just as a horse that took so much money against better third race of the form cycle, you know, I was going to try to maybe just use both and call it a day. Are you okay with that idea, or would you just pulling some others in?
Yeah, no, I'd be okay with that, because really the other horse that's going to take all that action is the Three Sharp Stick. And this horse has had 10 tries to get through for that maiden breaker, has yet to do it. You know the horse is going to eat up a lot of money in the sequence, but may not necessarily be good enough to finish crossing the wire first. Maybe a horse to look to underneath. I think you catch some better value with the other two.
Let's go on to race number 7. Nickel Claimers again going 6 furlongs with this field of 8. There's a morning line favorite that's pretty significant in this spot, Overdue Honor at 8-5, coming in off the rather lengthy break. Will he be ready first time up, or can we pull in something at a price here?
I think he's going to be ready first time up just off the pattern of workouts. But at the same time, Peter, when you look at it, this isn't your normal move for trainer Louis Roussel. You broke your maiden on the turf, and then you're coming back dropping for a conditioned 5 claimer on the main track. So maybe you put the horse in the mix. I think there's the potential for some other value in there. And I tend to wonder if the 7 getting paid is the horse that provides the value. This was a horse claimed for 5,000 out of the start 2 back, was actually entered in this level early on in the month of April, scratched out of that spot to face a tougher field in that start against 12-5 company and ran okay. You're back in for the 5 here. I just think this is the perfect spot for getting paid. And I think you're going to get a much better price than a 4-1 in that morning line.
He was one of the two I was looking at, along with the 4, Mad Dragon. Dragon, another one of these second off a layoff runners. I love that when they come back. They're going the 5.5. They're showing speed. Significant drop in class. I was thinking Mad Dragon could run a lot better. I was thinking of using the 4 and the 7 to try to beat the 1 in this spot, with the idea that you know, maybe the layoff would tell on Overdue Honor, a horse racing at this level. Who else do you have in the mix?
Well, I just want to note on Mad Dragon too, because you make a great point. Look who's riding, Orlando Mojica, back in the saddle. He rode this horse for the first 2 starts, where the horse ran at much better races. There was a second place effort and a victory. The claiming connections have gone back to him for this race, so that wouldn't surprise me. Maybe Stolich, the 5 horse, if you're again looking for a little bit of a price. The horse's best races are over this Hawthorne track, finding things a little bit easier, and there might be enough pace to chase.
I like it. Let's get to our nightcap, where we will determine the fate of our late pick 4 here. Fillies and mares, 3 and up, $12,000 claimers going 6 furlongs on the dirt. Jim, who's your idea of the winner?
My idea of the winner is the 4, Frankel Baby. I mean, look at the breeding for one. Everything would suggest the long on the turf and what's going to be a good racehorse, and you're in for 12-5 in the spot. The connections thought pretty highly of this horse early on. They broke their maiden. They followed up with an allowance victory, and they said, okay, let's go to Kentucky and try to compete there. And the horse just wasn't competitive. But look at those races. Optional 50, optional 50, optional claiming 80, and then a $50,000 claimer. Well, here, this is the confidence boost. You're back in for 12-5. You're sprinting. The horse is working very well. Talked to Chris Amy the other morning, along with Brittany Vandenberg. They're both very high on this horse. This is a horse that could be very tough. It wouldn't surprise me. I would even actually consider singling this horse in the final leg.
I was going to ask about a pace angle in the form of number 8, Short Straw. Very similar angle to some of these other horses I've been talking about. I love it when they've had the race and shown speed and then maybe get a chance to carry a little bit more. I absolutely respect Frankel Baby, but wanted to see. Also wanted to ask you if you thought that the 10-1 on the morning line on the 8 runner might actually materialize. You got hot connections here and a potential pace edge. That was going to be enough for me to make sure I had some 8s on the tickets.
Well, and you're right. You'd have very hot connections. They won a couple of races last Sunday as well. Short Straw is an intriguing racehorse because he's just kind of a wing it and go type of racehorse. He's going to go as fast as he can for as long as he can. What was interesting is you looked at that last out, the horse was actually protected for the claiming price, so wasn't in for the tag. So they thought enough coming off the layoff that, hey, we want to get this race. We want to see where we're at. And then after that, we'll go from there. And now they're stepping up for 12-5. I just question, Peter, if it's going to be too much of a step. But again, these horses don't know who they're running against. If you're loose and lonely on the lead, regardless, you're loose and lonely on the lead. And Short Straw is going to be the one that's winging it out there in the front end.
Definitely a much better group of horses, and that is a concern, but I'm hoping maybe that's where the price comes in. Any others to name check here? You're pretty happy standing alone with Frankel Baby.
I'm pretty happy standing alone with Frankel Baby. Maybe look a little bit at the 7 Dessert first, only because the horse has a lot of back class. You're coming into a barn that I think is going to turn things around a little bit. So that's the other one. Maybe give consideration to. It's just going to be a question of what the price is and what kind of action you see on that runner in the last.
Do you think Frankel Baby will get claimed in this spot?
I do. I think this is a horse that will probably get claimed. And you know what? You put him in for a tag. So if they do get claimed and you get the purse, then you're doing okay in the end.
Right. Good stuff, Jim. Appreciate you. We're going to be talking a lot more Hawthorne in the weeks to come. Looking forward to the turf season, and always appreciate your visits on the show.
You got it, Peter. Thank you. Good luck. We got a lot of contests coming up soon as well.
Yeah, we'll be hearing about those as well. Hopefully this partnership with First is just beginning and going to be something you could do a little bit more of down the line at some stage of the game.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's a great partnership. It's something where anytime you can promote racing in the industry, you want to do it. So that's what we're definitely shooting for.
Jim, we'll see you on TV.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Take care.
Today's show brought to you in part by our friends at NYRA. America's Day at the Races returns Saturday on Fox to cover the Aqueduct Spring Meet. Tune in to watch 9 exhilarating races headlined by the Woodhaven Stakes. Join JK, Maggie, Acacia, and the rest of the Fox team for live racing, expert analysis, expert picks, and more. And you could bet on the races using NYRA Bets. New members receive up to a $200 deposit match and a $25 free bet. Nonstop fun at the Aqueduct Spring Meet. For showtimes and a full TV schedule, visit InTheMoneyPodcast.com/TV. Next up on the show, we turn our attention to racing in New York, where turf racing is back. Got an interesting little pick 6 sequence on this Saturday. I got a horse in on Sunday, Gem Minten, for our friends at Adelphi. We're in the nightcap. Quick look. We looked to fit. Didn't look easy. Oversubscribed, etc. I'm curious to dive into that one a little bit more. But on Saturday, I think I will be taking a swing at this pick 6 while running around doing a million other things, getting ready to get out of Dodge here on Tuesday of next week. But let's talk about this NYRA pick 6, Aqueduct pick 6, with a man whose work you've heard over on the harness side here, over on the In the Money Plus side. And he's also been very influential lately behind the scenes. Mike Probosi, what's going on, man?
I'm starting to feel like a regular here, PTF. I don't even know what to do.
It's good. You've had some excellent ideas on the flat side. We don't want to pigeonhole you just as somebody who does standard breads, because you've obviously got the multiple clubs in the bag when it comes to analyzing some form.
I'm all horse player all the time. There's no keeping me down.
Let's start off. Let's test your acumen by looking at the race that kicks off this pick 6 on Saturday, race number 4. It goes at 256. We've got an allowance race for fillies and mares going 6 furlongs on the turf. Just the 7 look to be headed to post in here. Who do you like?
Well, first off, it's great to have the return of the turf in New York, and I'm very positive. The weather looks perfect. I'm going to single in the first race. I would be all in on Lady Mia here. I like her form back. In 22 at Chantilly last year, only had a couple starts, but raced pretty well here. And, she's a sprinter. She's very quick. If you look at that October 6th race, she was just never losing there, just out to the front and, held safe. She looks the speed in here. If you don't take her, I just feel like it's really difficult to find anybody else in here. So I would lean on her early. If not, come back and play the pick 5.
That is never a bad idea, in my opinion, when it comes to these sequences. And I did have Lady Mia as the lone backup I wanted in this spot. I thought there was a little bit of a story about the 4 Master of the Tunes. And this is a horse that David is so good at his morning lines. And if he's right about the 2-1, my interest would go down. But I thought there was a world in which this horse could escape at a bit more of a price, just because at first glance, she looks so exposed, one who's had her chances. But I felt like going through those races, there were plenty of excuses. I think this is a much weaker race, all in all, than what she's been facing, unless the 1 really steps up. And I thought the last time she ran 6 furlongs was against the flow and should get a great setup in this spot. So I was going to go 4-1, chalky to kick things off, but I did feel like maybe you eke out a little bit of value trying to beat the two runner who I thought the one Lady Mia would probably win the speed scrum from, and that would just be a case if Master of the Tunes could get there or not. Let's move right along to race number five, this starter allowance going 6 furlongs on the dirt, where I wasn't happy with my opinion in here. You know, when I look at these situations and you've got multiple entries, I always, if I can pick against an entry, I'll pick against an entry. But I didn't really think you could pick against an entry here. I thought that Got Thunder was going to get a great stalk and pounce type trip. Last time, won the battle, lost the war. 1A Mr. Phil would come along for the ride, apparently. So I thought they were going to be tough to deny. And then, unfortunately, looking more, I wanted to have Print Track on side as a horse that could be the possible best speed in this spot. Chateau theoretically goes along with that one. I wonder if they will run both of those given what it looks like their running styles would be. Anyway, long way of saying I think it's one of the entries going to probably win Aqueduct Race 5, but I'd love it if you have something creative I can throw in instead.
Well, you failed to mention the four, Colonel Vargo, who happens to be 6 for 6 at the racetrack and has a 10-pound bug listed, so I imagine that this horse is probably going to be going and winging here and trying to win another race over this surface. So I think that the race sort of goes through that horse. I understand the twos. I do think that that's probably the next likely winner. Looks fast, but did lose to Colonel Vargo last time, referring to the solid two there. So that one I think you probably have to use. And then as a long shot, I don't mind the 3 Capone. Was claimed last time off a win. Has some back numbers. If you look back, January 1st had a 93 buyer in a starter 50 allowance, won by 6 lengths there. So has the back numbers, I think is capable and could get a trip in the race, maybe just off the speed. I don't think has to be on the front to win. 8-1 morning line, especially with all those entries in there. I'll use that one. So I was 2-3-4.
My knee jerk, I think, was to be a little bit negative about the 3 and 4 off the claims. But when they run back within 2 weeks, like both of these are, they're basically running on the old training anyway. So maybe I was too flippant in my dismissal of those. But I don't know. It makes it a very tough race to play the sequence for me, just using the 2 entries. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep grinding on this one. And my official picks are going to be 1-2, but I am going to look a little bit more, especially at the 4, but also your 3 as well, simply because the price is going to be there on that one. Let's go on to race number 6. We've got a nice looking 3-year-old stake in the form of the Woodhaven. Mike, who's your idea of the winner?
Well, I do think the 2 Carson's Run will take a fair amount of money here. I mean, won the Grade 1 summer last year at Woodbine, won first up at Saratoga on the grass. So this horse, I would imagine, just on class with Clement coming back, will take a lot of money. But I'll use 2 others also. The 3 works for me is interesting. Won turf race last year, but it was a stake here at Aqueduct and, you know, was 16-1 in that race and raced, I thought, pretty well. You know, flew early, ended up getting caught late. So that was a tough race, I think. And I like to see horses that their best number is on a different surface. So plenty of dirt starts for that horse. The best number this horse has is on the grass. So getting back to that here, you get IRAD. I think there's a lot to like there. And then the 4, Good Lord Laurie, a horse that broke, his maiden first time at Saratoga and was betting that start, did have trouble in there too. So 5.5 with trouble, first time out and still found a way to win. I like horses like that. So I'll use that one also. 2-3-4.
2-3-4. I had Carson's Run on my backup line, just on the obvious figures and form, but I'm going with a pedigree play in here. The 7 Elysian Meadows was entered on the turf before he ever ran and didn't make that start. I'm not sure if that was weather related or what, but then at that point, the turf season was basically over. So I'm holding no negatives about the fact that this one has 4 dirt runs, because I think turf is supposed to be the surface for this one. Heavenly Thought ran on turf, you know, being by Warfront. And this is a big Coolmore family that includes the likes of like Falbrov, if you pull in the second dam. Wow. So yeah, there's a lot of blood with the 7. So a chance that this one could be a very big move up. I was going to try to mess around 7 and 2 in there. I'll take a look at the others you mentioned, the 3 and 4. for where I can on some tickets where I'm spreading and get a little skinny in some of the other spots. So with that, we'll go to race number 7, $10,000 claimers, 6.5 on the dirt, full field of 11. I was hoping you could maybe pull in a little bit of a price here. Striking Speed was a horse I wanted to talk about who I thought would really benefit from the turn back. And I thought that last race was better than it looked, wide on a day when ground loss mattered. And then Prince James, I had like a pretty subtle angle on, but I think this might be a case of a horse that off the claim by Ray Handel just took a while to get right. Typically when he claims a horse, he will imbue more speed into it. That did not happen with this horse, who I think was just off form when appearing in the barn. But that last run 30 days ago, much, much better, obviously, scoring as the favorite and showing a lot better pace figures early. I think there's a world in which Prince James can just continue on an upward trajectory and get the right kind of a trip in this spot, you know, maybe mid-pack, and can close by him. So I was going to play around with the 11 and the 1, hoping to get a little bit of a price in race number 7. How did you see it?
Agree very much so on the 11. I like Kendrick. This horse is second back off the claim and was bet off the claim last time and really had a tough trip there. I think the turn back and distance slightly will suit that one. And the other horse I'm going to use is the 7, First Deputy. We talked about Colonel Vargo. This horse has faced that horse 3 out of the last 4. Well, that horse is unbeatable at this racetrack. If you look at the time that he didn't face that horse, on February 25th, was a 5-length winner. So I think that that's probably a similar spot to this one and probably needs a setup here, but I do think with Irad also getting on, this is a huge jockey switch for this horse. So give me the 7 and 11.
Yeah, you make some good points about the 7, and I do think the race could set up for that one as well. Lower end of the odds spectrum, presumably, but another one to maybe work into some tickets if you can afford it the way you're choosing to construct it. Race number 8, we've got New York Breds on the grass, fillies and mares going 1 mile and 1/16. Mike, we'll keep it with you.
Well, I'm looking towards the favorites here. You have Chad with the 1 overreacting, and this horse was able to win first out on a yielding course at Saratoga, and then, you know, had a couple tougher spots where, you know, she was favored and couldn't get the job done. Well, now comes back, looks the speed in this race, and probably is going to be the one to catch. And it's a typical Chad Klarovich favorite type horse. It's stuck in at 127, though, and that's kind of interesting. I'm not really a weight guy, but I do, you know, find that to be difficult. But the 8's the other horse in here, and that horse, I think it's Rogna, won first out. And if you watch that replay, raced very well. You won't see a more impressive winner winning first time over the grass. Didn't get away very well, but made this long extended run and just crushed. Well, hasn't been seen since then, so I don't know what to think here, but that sort of talent is really difficult to ignore. A lot of the other ones, I just could not really find a reason to beat the top 2. So some version of 1-8. 1 probably the top pick, but definitely have to use the 8 on a lot of tickets.
We're singing from the same hymn book here for sure, though I was going to try to split them a little more and reduce Rogna to more of a backup just based on some trainer stat stuff that I pulled, which I'll get to in a minute. But just, you know, to reiterate, overacting, looks just extremely strong and obvious and should be ready. You would think Chad Brown off a layoff, no issue at all. Now, Bond off a layoff at this meet is a little bit different. It's a limited sample, but looking at, well, how did I filter it? I think I filtered it for 140 days or more, Aqueduct Turf, 0-15. Interestingly, I then looked at Aqueduct overall on turf, thinking that he brings them along kind of slowly with the thought of getting them to peak in Saratoga. So many outfits. The win in Saratoga is worth, I've heard trainers tell me, 3 wins downstate. That's definitely true of Bond. So I was like, is there signal in that? When I pulled all the Aqueduct Turf starters for Bond, though, it was interesting. 11% winners, which is decent, but actually a big plus ROI. But that is not, that's typically, obviously, you can take the 15 losers out of that sample off the layoff, and you can expect these horses to improve with a race under their girth, is what I'm saying. All that said, it's all about the individual groups of horses that show up, and this one can absolutely win if the one doesn't turn up. So I do want as a backup, but I do think I think it might be a mistake to use the 1 and the 8 equally here. I think you want more pressing the 1 as we go through. You buying that argument at all?
Absolutely.
Or am I just having fun with numbers?
No, I agree with you completely. It's just there's so, it's I think it's a difficult race to find much and to put all your eggs in the 1 where, you know, the 8 does have some talent and may be able to overcome some of those numbers and the biases and the trainer. Maybe can even overcome the trainer. I mean, that's how good she looked first out.
I don't disagree one bit. The nightcap on Saturday is New York bred maiden special weights going a mile with a big full field signed on. When it comes to this pick 6 at Aqueduct on Saturday, Mike, we'll ask you the key question. How are we going to get paid?
I'm spready unless the 11 gets in. The 11 is Courtly Banker. This is a Barkley tag shipping up from Gulfstream and raced pretty well first out for Barkley tag to show up on the Tapeda first out at Gulfstream. A little interesting, and now should be able to ship to New York. This horse is a New York bred. That was a nice race there. So if this horse can get in, I would probably lean heavier on that one. As far as the ones that are drawn already into the race, I mean, the 10's obvious. This is a Chad, second-timer. You get Pratt, was favored first out on the dirt. Now gets the grass out of a mare that was very much a grass type. So I'd use that one. The 7... Rabaja. These names here are really difficult for me right now. Here's another bond. And you get Kendrick here. This horse tried the turf first out and I think struggled. And another one, bond off the layoff. But I did like the breeding here. And I do like the fact that you're getting Lasix, the fact that they were turf meant all along. So that's another one. And then an obvious one is the 4, a better lucky than good. And here's Clement, 2 starts over the grass, 2 nice races. Was the favorite last time on November 19th. Could not win from where he was, but I do think he fits here. And it's probably the most obvious. So 4, 7, 10, unless the 11 draws in, then I would be heavy 11.
All right. And is that the order you want me to write them down in the little sheet we're going to send around to in the money plus 4, 7, 10, or you talked about them 10, 7, 4?
Yeah, I sort of was going from the bottom up, but 4, 7, 10.
Okay, 4, 7, 10. We'll do that. And then it's interesting that both you and I prefer the 10 runner for Chad Brown to his horse that's going to be a much shorter price in the form of number 6, Carew. I did want Carew as a backup, but I thought Shaka, very interesting on the turf pedigree note that you mentioned and having that run on dirt. Didn't really run very well, but did attend a closer friendly flow in that spot. Just feels like the switch to turf is going to move that 10 runner up. And then I was going to have Carew and then better lucky than good that you mentioned as my backups in that spot. I'll say this about horses like Courtly Banker and those bond runners. I'm just going to have little notes to follow them through the season as horses that might end up, you know, especially if they show some signs here and then turn back up during the 4-day meet at Saratoga, that the horses that could be more primed. And again, this is just narrative. I'm making this up. I could be wrong, but I just have this gut feeling that those could be horses that are really primed to win at Saratoga. And with those early 4 days at Saratoga this year, I mean, the way modern horses work, that could be the next start for any of those. So just a little note to keep an eye on that I'm going to have, and we'll probably be talking about them later. We're a little bit over time here, Mike, so we'll leave it there, but really appreciate you and all the work you do here at In the Money Media.
Anytime, you know I'm here for you.
We'll be back right after this. Don't miss ExpressBet's 2024 Kentucky Derby Challenge Contest. The contest features a $3,000 entry with $1,000 going towards the prize pool and $2,000 acting as a live bankroll. Prizes include cash, NHC seats, BCBC seats, UBC seats, and Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge seats. For more information, go to expressbet.com/tournaments. Next up, we're going to look at the late pick 5 at Santa Anita on Saturday night, with a man who just posted for In the Money Plus his trip notes for the entire expected field of this year's Kentucky Derby. So we're going to have to start with that. I speak of Justin Christine. Justin, how are things?
I'm great, Pete. Great to be with you. Always enjoy our handicapping conversations. Hopefully we can sniff out some likely winners and maybe connect the dots on a multi-race sequence or two.
That's always the dream. Now, I don't want you to give away the store, obviously, in terms of trips and what you wrote for us on the plus side. We're going to send out a partial version of that to the whole list. So if you're signed up for our free newsletter, you can get an idea of what we're talking about. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/email. the best place to sign up for that free newsletter, which also is a great way of seeing all the free Derby stuff we've got coming down the pike, because God knows there's a lot of it. But when you think back to the trips you took, is there one horse in particular or one trip in particular you feel like maybe isn't getting noted as much in the general coverage as it might be?
Let's go to Just Steel. I think that we can look at the Rebel 2-back and then the Arkansas Derby. The Rebel 2-back, he had no chance. He was 5 wide both turns. I mean, you know, it's really the only race in his last 4 or 5 that was not up to par for him. And so I think that race is a complete toss. And then in the Arkansas Derby, it's not noted at all in the comment line. But at the top of the stretch, he stumbled a little bit. And you could see it cost him some momentum. He gathered himself pretty quickly, and I thought he finished great, chasing Moose through the wire. But I think that, you know, I'm not saying he would have won the race, but it definitely cost him some momentum, and it's not noted anywhere. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I consider him a fringe contender for the Derby, at least in the exacta, trifecta, and superfecta.
He's a little interesting. He's the representative of that form line too, you know, and since we don't really know how good Muth is, we can make some guesses based on speed figures and form and things like that. But it's not a crazy case for a horse. It's going to be a very big price. We talked about him, of course, on the Monster Pod as well. And Clay Sanders from 10 Strike had some very interesting things to say about him. But that's the type of thing you're going to get. And obviously, Plus has a load of other stuff as well. Grid picks from all the team. Specific betting advice. We're going to have a deeper dive into speed figures. Whatever you're looking for, if you want the best info you can get, yeah, we got a load that's free, and you can stick with that, and you're not going to be, you know, handcuffed. But if you want the best of everything, check out In the Money Plus. Very happy to have Justin contributing to that side of things. He'll be competing in this pick five that we're about to talk about on these races on Saturday, and it kicks off with this allowance race down the hill. I thought this race was notable for me in that the figure and form horses were not horses who've had a ton of success going down the hill, Justin. That made me want to try to get a little bit cute at least. But let's start with you. How do you see it?
I'm with you. I think maybe one of the horses you were referring to is Forgiving Spirit. I'm against Forgiving Spirit. I don't really like the way the horse runs. He's sort of high-headed. His win, his loss by a head, 2-back, was on a slow pace. And I'm not so sure, Pete, he's going to be as good going 6.5 furlongs here. So I was looking elsewhere, too. I went to the 4, Tiger Hun, that last race where Frankie Dettori got on. I love that race. He accelerated in the lane. He had a big gallop out. I think 6.5 might be perfect for him. And, you know, Dettori rides the hillside course great. And that 30 non-winners of 3 lifetime, I'm not so sure that's that big of a I'm not that sure he's taking that big of a step up in this race. So he's one of my A's. And then I like one of the obvious horses, Cali Bay, on the outside. It's the typical miler cutting back to 6.5 with the outside post with a good jockey. I think there's a lot to like about this horse. He's got enough finish, and I think the pace is going to be honest. We got a couple long shots that are going to set the pace. And I'm hoping also maybe they suck Forgiving Spirit up with them. The only other horse I wanted to use as a backup, and I think he's going to be probably last. He's going to be far back early, and that would be the 7 Legislator.
4, 9, and 7. The one that I was interested in, two really on the, you know, downhill angle. One was Tiger Hunt, as you mentioned, who I had listed 2nd in my picks. I thought On the Whim was a little bit interesting. Now, this horse might have trouble on the front end, potentially with having company there, as there could be some other speed in this race. But this horse to me just looks clearly better, clearly a better horse on turf and gets to head back to that surface. So I was curious to see if On the Whim might be worth using. I probably will be cowardly and back up with the 8 as well as the 9, just on the obvious figure and form claims. But that's how I was going to play it. 2-4 with the 8 and the 9 as backups. 4, 9, and 7 for Justin to kick things off as we move to race number 8, where we've got $16,000 claimers in a race where I thought there was going to be enough pace to maybe set it up for one from off the pace. And I was interested in the 8, La Fondue, in this spot. I think probably had to need the last race off that long break. Now back, second time off the layoff in a race that should set up, I thought, for sort of a mid-pack closer. I think the 8 La Fondue could be just that. That's the horse I was most interested in race number 8. How do you see it?
I'm with you. For all the reasons you said, you know, that is an obvious prep first off the bench. If you look back at his form cycle, his second race off the bench in January of 23, he moved up 17 points on the buyer scale. The Tories on, you know, there's a lot to like about this horse. And his last trip, he got off really badly. He veered left and he was bumped hard, and I think it was clearly a prep. So I'm with you on the 8, Pete. And then, you know, I think the obvious one you have to include is the 3 Syntactic. That race 2 back on the dirt probably should have won. He was bumped and shuffled midway around the second turn. He lost his momentum. He galloped out way in front of everybody. I think a repeat of that race with some speed signed on in front would make him the horse to beat. I'm also a sucker for speed and blinkers off. That brings us to the outside horse, the 9, Let the Liquor Talk. Although I promise it's not the liquor talking right now.
During the school day, no less.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That would be in big trouble. He might get the perfect Santa Anita 2-turn stalking trip, sitting 2 wide and 2nd behind the speed of the 5. And, you know, the Wind Rider's back on. All Mullins' horses are running. And so, yeah. You know, I see a world where he might set the perfect trip. And if he can get 2 turns, he might get the first jump on the other 2 that we mentioned.
I could see that exact trip happening that you're describing. And you know, you don't need to twist my arm right now to throw a Mullins runner in just because they have all been firing seemingly. Let's move to the stakes action of the Grade 3 Royal Heroine. Billy's and mares 4 and up going a mile on the turf. We'll keep it with you, my friend.
All right. This was a pretty challenging race. Let's start with Bella Bell. I'm not sure what to do with this horse. Maybe you have some clever ideas about this horse. The race 2 back was on a slow pace, and in the last race, she chased Ruby Nell to no avail. I don't know if she just regressed off the big effort and the long layoff. I think she's going to get a pretty good trip. I have a question mark next to her. I'm a little undecided on her. I do have a price that I want to talk about here, and that's the 5 Justique. Her last 1, 2, 3, 4 races, she chased a wire-to-wire winner, 3 in the form of Ruby Nell and then Bella Bell 2 starts back. She was 3 wide in that race, 2 starts back. She really didn't have a chance. And then her last race, she was off terribly. I read somewhere, I think it was in the Daily Racing Form yesterday, that John Sheriff said that last work, that 5 furlong work on April 19th, was her best work ever. And you know, she's got a winning race in her somewhere, and I'm hoping today at 10-1 might be the day. I'm going to take a shot with her as an A, and then I also have to use the 2 coming from the East Coast, Uncorked with the Tory on, was 3rd to Chili Flag, in Tass, 2 back, Technical Analysis, and Fluffy Socks in the running lines. I think she's got to be included. And then Fuente Oveyuna for Brendan Walsh coming from Gulfstream, you know, those are probably tougher races than this race. At least the Sand Springs might have been a tougher race than this one. And Thorograph users will note that they have 2 slow paces marked in the last 2. Although Timeform doesn't have them coded blue, I don't think on no. Thorograph they're noted as slow paces. She finished really nicely in the most recent the Sand Springs. So I have to give her another look with Rispoli getting on. So I'm going to use the 5, the 7, and the 9 as my A's. Pete, what do you do with Bella Bell, and what do you do with Stay and Scam?
Well, let me start with just one more data point on Fuente Oveyuna, who on Racing Flow would be a move up coming out of those last 2 runs.
Good to know.
minus 96 flow and a minus 113 flow. Minus 100 is about the standard for where you'd call, where you'd start looking at a horse coming from far back as being, sure, you know, properly against. So that's a real interesting angle on the nine. So for me, I just thought, I mean, I'm not going to say that Bella Belle isn't a contender, but I thought it was more of a periphery contender for me. I mean, just looking at figures, looking at the kind of form she's in right now, I just thought others were more interesting. My top one being Uncorked, who you mentioned. This horse, and I was very curious to get your sense on this one because you watch so many replays. I just thought she had a really nice attitude in her races. She seems like a hard trier, and you know, Brittany Russell does a great job, but obviously you're not losing anything getting into D'Amato. He's, you know, by his own standards, been a little cold, I guess, since they restarted the meet. But this horse is a very likely win candidate. And another one who I feel like Dettori in particular is going to move up. With the way he just seems more aggressive than so many of the domestic riders, I think this horse is going to be in a perfect attacking position. I definitely want Uncorked. And then I was also kind of master of the obvious with one you didn't talk about, the 8 Stay and Scam, who just has good, consistent figures, good positive trip expected. If the race holds together, I thought the 8 made a lot of sense. And I'm definitely wanting to make sure to have the 9 as a backup, at least, as a horse that could potentially be the best closer. It's an interesting little race. I say that, then I land on the top two choices. So your view is a little more interesting than mine, but I'm excited to see how it plays out. There's a lot of stories to tell, and you know, you make a good case on the workout with Justique as well at 10-1. I might have to try to worm that one on some tickets as well. Any other thoughts on the Royal Heroine before we move it on down the line?
You know, just looking at Stay and Scam, I think at 5-2, I'll probably only use her, you know, with all the other A's with my Maltese. But that last race was pretty good. She was best of speed, and it doesn't show in the running line, but she was actually passed midway down the backside. She relaxed, and then she came on and put that horse away. And then she was nailed late by Nadette, who came from last. So, you know, I wasn't exactly sure what to do with this horse, but that last running line points to her being a big player in here. And then I'll agree with you on Court. I love the way this horse looks. I love the way she finished her last race. And I couldn't agree more that Dettori is going to fit her like a glove. And she probably has more speed than she showed in her last race too. She might be able to, you know, be up on the pace a little bit. I don't think she has to come from second to last like she did in that last race. So yeah, really, really interesting race. I'm going to try to get Justique in the winner's circle, if not in the numbers somewhere. That's my clever thought in this race.
Let's talk about race 10. We've got an allowance for the boys going a mile in an oversubscribed field here. What did you come up with?
I'm going to hang my hat on the 6, Ultimate Gamble. I think that there's not a bad pace scenario for this horse, first of all. The way I envision the race unfolding is that he's going to sit third. You know, the layoff doesn't really concern me much. Came back
Glatt's
to win.
Glatt's great at it. You could argue it's a positive for him.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, off the 9-month layoff, ran a big race going a mile at Santa Anita last April with Dettori on. Dettori gets back on. You know, that non-win is a 1 at the end of April. That was sort of a goofy ride. You know, he made a 3-wide blitz around the first turn when he could have sat third, and then he galloped out way in front. So I think that, you know, this horse is primed for a really good effort. I mean, the horse cost $1.75 million. So obviously they've always thought a lot of this horse. I think the horse is going to get a perfect setup. So, and you know, and I watched that last work, and I'm not, you know, a trained workout expert, but I've watched enough of them to know that that last work was really good when the rider shook the reins just a tad, coming into the 16th pole. This horse really moved and galloped that way in front of his workmate. So, a lot to like about this horse. We have to mention Yellow Brick. I'm against Yellow Brick. I don't like the way that he finishes off races. He's always on his left lead until late in the race. And I have a suspicion that that 98 speed figure two back in February, when he won going seven furlongs, might be a bit high. I don't know. The one run back, Ashcroft, who came out of that race to win his next out, who's in this race, only got an 85 for that win. And, it was a pretty good effort. So I have a suspicion that that figure might be a little high. And you know, that's going to jump off the page, people looking at his PPs. So I'm going to stand alone here with ultimate gamble and hope Boston maybe gets caught up in a little bit of chase, and I don't get it to seven, and Ultimate Gamble can kick home in the end.
We're same hymn book here as well. You made the case terrifically. You could see that layoff as a positive. I think I'm safe to say at this point, if the Tory has a big day/night, I'm going to have one too. Definitely my top pick. I had one to throw in there. Similarly against Yellow Brick Road, who I felt like had things, basically was supposed to win the last race and didn't. I had that as kind of a no finish trip, which is a good bet against Dangle for me. Interesting price, maybe, if the horse can class up. The 8 Hey Brother going out for Hot Connections, I thought was a little bit against the flow going the 6 furlongs. Now stretching out, so we'll see. Has to run a career best in all likelihood, but I think he'll be well positioned and more of a B type. I mean, I was very happy going to war with the 6 in this spot, but I did want to mention the 8 as one to at least consider at a price as we move on to the last race we'll talk about in this segment of the show. We've got a maiden special weight for fillies and mares 3-5 going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Time form has Irish Rose for Neil Drysdale potentially loose in this spot, and maybe one that could be ready to fire a big effort in the third race off the form cycle. But I've got a few other ideas as well. Let me bring it to you to ask the key question of how we're going to get paid.
Yeah, so Irish Rose is – I'm hoping actually Sweet Gem coming out of those sprints with the blinkers on may help contest the pace early. And
I can see it.
You know, Irish Rose twice has been on a clear lead to mid stretch and hasn't finished. So yep. I'm going to look elsewhere. Although Iris Rose maybe on a clear lead. I hope not. I like the 2 Kelly's out third off the layoff again, Jeff Mullins. That last race, she was sort of lugging in and out in the lane. And it was a funny stretch run because Mike Smith didn't really ever get to riding. He was sort of busy trying to straighten her out. She was off slow both starts. So I think she's got some tactical speed too. And from that inside post, she might get a jump on the other horse I thought was a likely winner, which was Runyon Canyon on the outside. That horse raced against the pace in the first off the layoff. She was off 2 lengths slow and DeTore put a really good ride on that horse, dove to the inside, saved ground coming off the turn and finished really well. And Simon Callion doesn't do his best work off the layoff, so I think this horse will probably move forward. I try to get out with the 2 and what would that be? 7, 8, 9, 10, the 2 and the 10 with preference to the 2. And then I don't know what to do with Sunset Glory, Pete.
A forever layoff, 2 years almost.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that horse, maybe I would use as a backup. I'm not sure. I think John White gave that horse some respect on the morning line. So that was interesting. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. And he's pretty sharp. You know, he's pretty sharp. So
I just worry. She's really frustrating for pick fives, right? I mean, you need to see her and you need to see the tote before you decide. So my inclination, right or wrong, would probably be to leave out in picks and then come back if she's bet right, if she looks right, and play exactas 4 over the horses I had in the pick. So it's a much cheaper way of getting insurance than just betting her to win. Because I can't bet her from this far out. Hey, we just had Michael on the Monster Pod. I suppose we could text him, but I hate to do that. I hate to bother these people. And you know, their trainers are they want to be they want to be political anyway, if only to save you from yourself, right? So
for sure.
I was going to leave out. I thought Kelly's out was the other interesting one. Inside Out trip, I thought would be positioned ahead of Runyon Canyon. Maybe you're right that Runyon Canyon will move up off that 209-day break, because also the horse wasn't bet last time. I just couldn't shake that it was a setup, and the difficult post here. I was wanting to fade the 10, but God, I'm betting everything else the Tories on. Maybe I will try to sneak that one in there as a backup on the day, especially if we're willing to fade Sunset Glory. So I'm going to call it 5-2. My guess at the best speed, best closer, a little bit of a backup to 10. You're going to try to get out to 10. And then, you know, we reserve the right, both of us, to include Sunset Glory if she's looking right and or bet right as we get to this nightcap and a fun night of racing at Santa Anita on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a really good sequence. I think I counted 47, 48, 49 horses in the five races, not counting the couple also eligible. So it's a fun sequence, yeah, for sure.
Check out Justin's work over at inthemoneypodcast.com/plus. These trip notes are going to help you construct your tickets. It's great stuff. Always a pleasure talking to you, my man. We'll have you on again very, very soon.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it.
The 149th running of the Preakness Stakes will take place on Saturday, May 18th, as part of an incredible weekend that's going to feature the finest three-year-olds in thoroughbred horse racing. As the second jewel of the coveted Triple Crown, the Preakness returns as Baltimore's finest entertainment and curated hospitality experience, from indoor dining in the grandstand to premium outdoor viewing from the first turn suites and the iconic Turfside Terrace. Guests will enjoy everything the Preakness has to offer. For more information about how you can attend Preakness 149, go to www.preakness.com. Next up on the show, we turn our attention to the Far East as we look at the JRA races happening Saturday night into Sunday morning, depending on where in these United States or Canada you are. And speaking of Canada, we bring in a man now from north of the border. Always like to talk to him about JRA action, and he's a key contributor to the coverage that will be provided over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com on Saturday, including free pass performances. I speak of Klaus Ebner. Klaus, how are things?
Good, PTF. How you doing?
Things are good, man. Getting ready. A few more days and head down to Louisville. Next week, we'll probably hold your feet to the fire for your views about the Japanese runners in this year's Derby, but did want to have you on to talk about Saturday night. After a brief break, we're back, and we've got a big race in the form of the tennis show. How's this year's field shaping up?
Yeah, it's an interesting field. You know, I think there are, only, in my opinion, only five horses that really could probably win the race this weekend. And those are the five I'll kind of be focusing on in terms of, you know, my play. You know, you have a horse in the form of the favorite, and that's a horse called Duretza. Duretza, winner of the third jewel of the Japanese Triple Crown last year. And I think the biggest challenge for Duretz will just be the fact that Christophe Lemaire, his usual rider, is still sidelined after his injury in Dubai. But, you know, he came back with a second place last time out in the Grade 2 Kinko show at Chukyo. He did finish five lengths behind Prognosis. And, of course, Prognosis will see him also on Saturday running in Hong Kong. So I think Prognosis has a really good shot, you know, based on his current form in Hong Kong. So interesting to see there in terms of the form references. You know, prior to that, Duretz had a, you know, pretty stellar record of four straight wins after that Kikuko show. And winners of the Kikuko show as three-year-olds have actually won seven out of the last 10 runnings of this race. So, you know, the form reference is there. It's a developing four-year-old. I think he'll bounce back well. He'll enjoy the distance. So for me, I think, you know, he's probably the one I'll be looking at, keying things around. But as usual,
let me pause you, Klaus, just to ask you if you think that is, if there's some randomness in that. I mean, that's an amazing stat, the Kikuko show winner winning the tennis show seven times. Is there a particular reason why that would be in your view? How seriously should we take that?
I think it's a real serious thing. It's because for the most part, you're going to have a three-year-old winning that race. And then in their four-year-old year, you know, the usual assumption is that unless you have a ultra precocious horse, you're going to have a horse who's developing as a four-year-old. So they have every right to be even better as an older horse. So in my mind, Pete, you know, that's kind of the ideal situation. And also the fact that it's a very similar distance, right? So, you know, I just think for me, it's you know, yes, they're going a little bit longer. So this is 3,200 meters versus the 3,000 meters of the Kikuku Show. So a little bit longer. So, you know, 2 miles versus, you know, 1.78 miles or whatever the distance is of the Kikuku Show. So I also think that, you know, the extra 200 meters shouldn't make a much of a difference for Duretsa. You know, he powered through the line in that Kikuku Show event. But again, I just think that, you know, based on sort of the field and the form reference, I think that's kind of the reason why we've seen a lot of the 3-year-olds come back to be, you know, 4-year-old champs in this race.
It makes sense. Take us through the rest of your short list. Is the Kikuku Show bound to be a key form line beyond just the winner? You interested in any others coming out of that race?
Yeah, so we also have the Derby winner who's also in here, and that's a horse called Tastiera. Tastiera, he's been a bit of an enigma this year. You know, he like I said, he won the Derby last year, second to Duretsa in the aforementioned Kikuku Show last year. So he's shown he can, you know, we think we can get the distance here. But after that race, you know, he finished sixth to Doduce in the Arima Keenan. And then I was shocked because he went off of the favorite back in, you know, about a month ago, he went off as the favorite in the Osaka High, won that day by Bellagio Opera. And, you know, he was sitting fourth earlier on, looked to make his move and then just was flat as a pancake, finishing 11th that day. So, you know, I think he has a reason to improve. But my bigger question will be, you know, is which version of Tastier will show up. You know, I know we spoke just now about the fact that, you know, 3-year-olds developing into 4-year-olds, obviously you should see some improvement. But I just, unfortunately for me, I just see a worrying trend of, you know, sixth, then 11th in terms of versus top company instead of just restricted 3-year-old only class. So again, I don't know. It's like the, you know, the Eminem song, with a real Tastiera, please stand up or whatever it is, right? So so we'll see which version we get. In my opinion, the Derby will lower his odds, but yeah. I also don't want any part of that. So I'm willing to, you know, probably if I'm going to, you know, on the wagering side, I'll probably keep him in the back half of tries and supers and the high five as well that day. So, you know, again, you have those two improving 4-year-olds. We'll see what Tastiera brings to the table on Saturday. You know, a horse that kind of catches my fancy is a very, very lightly raced 6-year-old. And you don't usually see a lightly raced 6-year-old, but we have a horse in the form of Teo Royal, who he has done nothing but excel over the past 3 starts. You know, he's a horse that's been plagued by injuries throughout his career. You know, he looked to be on the rise earlier on in his career, had a very bad leg injury. He kind of bounced back then in 2023 with a pretty good effort in the Sports Nippon Show Stayer Stakes, and that's at 3,600, so even longer, finishing second to Iron Barrows that day. He came back this year, and he's done nothing but gone from strength to strength, including a powerful effort last time out in the Hanshin Daishoten, over 3,000 meters, winning by 5 lengths that day, power to the line. So, you know, for me, you know, he's a 6-year-old that's only had 17 starts, 7 victories from those 17 starts. So I think he's kind of be the sneaky good horse. You know, the odds may not be that great, but you're probably going to get, you know, 4 or 5 to 1, I think, on the day, maybe 7 to 2 at you know, for his lowest point. But I think that, in my opinion, he's the real deal. He's coming to form at the right time, has the pedigree, has everything going for him. And he's kind of the now horse, if you will, with those 2 back-to-back victories coming to this race. So again, I think Duretsa and Teo Royal will kind of battle it out for, you know, the spoils, if you will, on the weekend. You know, if looking at others that I think, you know, would hit the ticket. Yeah, again, there's some horses in here that, you know, you can say, okay, they have a shot. One horse, I think, you know, was in that aforementioned Hanshin Daishoten. That's a horse called Blow the Horn, you know, 3rd last time out to Toro in that same race. But prior to that was a winner over 2,400 meters in the Nikkei Shinshin Hai at Kyoto. So I think he's also another one that is on the improve. You know, it has 2 wins, 2/3 in his last 4 starts. You know, he did have an issue, you know, back in October of last year where he did not finish the race, but still I will hold that against him. I think he's one that has the breeding to get over this 3,200 meters. And then the last one I'll be kind of looking at is a horse called Warp Speed. Warp Speed comes in again, same race in terms of that form reference line, in terms of the Hanshin Daishoten, second behind that impressive performance by T.O. Royal. And again, his second, third, fourth in distance races. So I think, you know, he'll have no issue with the distance. I don't know if he's good enough to beat T.O. Royal or Duretzen here, or even possibly blow the horn. But again, it's another one I'll be looking at. You know, and we also have Deep Bond in here, who's like he's a little long in the tooth now. Unfortunately, he hasn't shown any of his best efforts. Now he's now 7 years old. I would assume that they would have retired him and sent him to the breeding shed. But I guess there was no interest there for him on that one. So again, I don't think it's unfortunately a very deep field. But I do think those kind of four or five horses are the main contenders, and I'll build all of my wagers around those four or five horses.
I mean, you can definitely get away with, you know, taking a smaller set of horses and taking a horse like Duretz and cycling through with the others in trifectas and maybe be able to come up with something that's going to pay well in these pools. You know, they are not commingled, but they're no joke. And we've seen your team, Klaus, come up with some real successes betting on these races, and maybe we can keep the momentum going on Saturday into Sunday. I mentioned before about the work you guys do on the website with picks and additional analysis and, of course, the past performances. For folks who are new around here to the JRA racing, because we do always have a lot of new people this time of year, maybe give a little bit of an overview of the product, what they can expect on the card Saturday into Sunday, other than the big race.
Sure. So, you know, for the most part, the traditional way of doing things that they do in the JRAs, they'll have all of their maiden races earlier on the card. So, you know, you traditionally would have races 1 through 5 or so would probably be maidens or, you know, first level allowance horses in those first couple of races. And then we'll branch into, you know, higher end allowance races. Well, then you will have 2 to 3 listed stakes races before the big one. So again, that'll encompass, you know, 12 races on the card. As I mentioned before, we'll have a high five, and I believe there's actually a really large carryover into that high five this week. I apologize. I should know this. I should have it handy, but there is a very, very large high five carryover going into this weekend's racing. So again, if you like some of those big horses in that race and you want to key on that, you could
That's fun.
You could leave late Saturday, early Sunday with some extra cash in your money in your pocket and have some bullets for Derby. So those are all things we have. We also have 2 pick 5s, which usually pay pretty healthy, you know, depending on the pool size. You know, the pool size for the pick 5s early and late are roughly around anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000. And if the early pick 5 is not hit, it carries over to the late. So we have that as well going for you wagering-wise. And as you mentioned, Pete, we'll have the free PPs for you on the In the Money site, as well as selections from myself and the team. And it's a good night of racing. You know, it's usually competitive. You'll have large fields. And as I mentioned before, it's always pedigrees you're going to see in there that you can somewhat relate to. So you'll know who a lot of these horses are. You'll see some American sires in there. You may see some California Chromes, some Dreyfongs, you know, some other horses in there that, you know, kind of say, hey, I remember that mare or I remember that sire from racing in America. So, yeah, lots to like, lots to be interested in. So, dig in and we'll help you as best we can.
Feel free to push any creative about the carryover on social. You know, if you tag me or the team over here, we'll make sure to get that information out. Maybe that's the kind of lure we can get people looking. When you have top-notch racing and extra money being added to the pot to reduce the takeout, that's the kind of thing in pools that, you know, are not going to be dominated by computers. That's the kind of thing I could see my people being very, very interested in. So let's make sure to get the info out there about that. Klaus, I think you and Spencer will probably be back in this space next weekend, but I look forward to seeing you soon. Will you be making your way down to Louisville? What's your story as far as your travel next weekend?
No Louisville for me. I do have some plans for, you know, New York for the sports betting conference the week after the Derby, and then we'll be in our usual spot in Sweden for some trotting racing in at the end of May.
Elitloppet is coming. Yeah, we'll have coverage of that on the standard bred side for sure. And of course, racing back at Woodbine, Drew and I talking about that. That will have probably already aired on this show, though we're recording out of order today. But be excited to hopefully get up there and see you soon as well. Good stuff, Klaus. We'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Pete. Have a great day.
That's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank all of today's guests, as well as our founding partners over at 10 Strike Racing. You know, around here, we always love to root for the purple and black. Also, our charity partner, Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. This is the organization where Kim Weir continues her amazing work helping humans and helping horses. Going to hear a lot more about them. To learn more right now, go to their website, which you can find via inthemoneypodcast.com/horses. You can also give to their generous cause. Thanks, though, mostly to all of you for listening, making these shows fun to do, watching our YouTube videos, leaving comments over there, subscribing, clicking the notification bell, all that good stuff. There's a lot of ways you can support us if you like the content we're doing. Those are some of the easiest. But hey, even if you just listen, that's invaluable in and of itself. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.